Welcome to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs Postgame Edition. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004, serving the Kingston and surrounding areas. Alongside co-host Craig Pierce and producer Ted Evans, here's your host, Jordan Webster.
And we're back on Split the Defense, Leafs postgame. I'm Webby with CP and producer Ted in the booth. Some thumbs up this episode, subscribe to our YouTube, rate us 5 stars, and leave us a comment. We love those. Leafs went down 4-1, battled back, and forced OT, but Dylan Larkin keeps the Red Wings' playoff hopes alive. Matthews scored 69, nice, and there are some other positives we can't take away from this one. What do you take away from this one, CP?
I mean, you can kind of tell that, you know, one team's playing for their season and the other team's got their playoffs locked down. But it was good kind of to see Sammy bounce back for, you know, after a rough game last game and a kind of a rough first period. He was able to kind of find his head and, you know, get back into it. It's tough that they, you know, lost, but when you take a penalty like with 10 seconds left and you're going into overtime, that's kind of the kiss of death. So.
Yeah, Samsonov was great. I mean, letting four in, I thought the big topic tonight was going to be Ilya Samsonov is starting to become unfit and looked like he's not the guy again, but he really battled back, and he is the reason they got to overtime, gave him a chance. He made some massive saves, especially near the end of the game.
There was one with 10 minutes left, too. That was huge. Just basically wide open in the slot and made a huge save. So, yeah, multiple game savings saves.
Absolutely. But it didn't really matter, like you said, for the Leafs. The Leafs are stuck, cemented in third place. The Panthers went to overtime and secured 1 point, which eliminated a scenario which Toronto could catch them, and the Bruins would have to lose out, which they're winning right now. With Toronto winning out, and they didn't win tonight, so that didn't happen. So it's pretty much impossible. Tampa lost tonight. They are in third place. So now it just depends on who wins more games between the Florida Panthers and the Boston Bruins. For who we're going to play in the first round.
Yeah, today I really didn't care so much about the win. Like, I really just wanted the 70 goals just so we could go into these last two games without really thinking about it and it being done. They could, you know, rest them if they want to. We don't have to kind of push it. But my girlfriend actually brought up a good point. Like, it'd be nice to get 70 in against Florida, you know? So if that happened, like, that'd be good going into a matchup with them.
I would take that. Yeah, so from David Alter, says, with his goal tonight, Austin Matthews is now on a career-high 8-game goal-scoring streak, tying Mitch Marner, crazy, and Babe Dye. Of course, Babe Dye. Dye is also first, second, and sixth on that list. He holds the record with an 11-game goal-scoring streak. So Matthews scored again tonight. He can continue scoring. I don't think he can reach 11. There's not enough games left in the season for him to break that. But at this pace, he could conceivably get 70 at any point now. But there's two games left in the season. Do you think that he's going to be rested? Do you think the 70 is going to take precedent?
I don't know. Like, Sheldon Keefe seems to think that he's not thinking about it at all. But, I mean, it's just – it's a huge milestone to get 70. So I feel like he'll probably – like, I think that he'll play both games if he doesn't get it in the next one. So I just hope that he gets it, and then you don't have to think about it. Rest him the last game. But, yeah, I would – like, I don't – think, like, what's the difference between 69 and 70? Like, I know, like, it's been an amazing season either way, so I think they should kind of shift their focus to the playoffs. But
but 70's huge. Like, 70's a massive milestone. Like, we as humans, like, we love round numbers, especially as hockey fans. We love round numbers. To see him get 70 is, like, super important, and I don't think that he should be sitting, like, maybe the last game of the season. But, like, why? Like, is it really that beneficial?
Yeah, I mean, and there's no list of, like, how many people got 69 goals, you know? Like, the list is how many people got 70. So, I mean, yeah, is it a huge deal if he rests or not? Like, I don't really think so, to be honest. Like, you've played enough games. Like, it's going to be a one-day difference, really, between, like, going in the playoffs or not, because they play back-to-back. So, but... maybe, actually, I'm just kind of arguing against myself. Maybe because it's back-to-back, like, you don't want to force an injury. But it was like kind of eye opening when he went into the boards hard, like when he went skate to skate with Willie. And like, that's where, like, you know, when you go head first in the boards, everyone's kind of going to hold their breath for a second. Luckily, he didn't even miss a shift. Like, he literally didn't even go off the ice, which I was very surprised at. But, you know, you are taking that risk, I guess, in a way. But yeah, I don't know. I'm on the fence.
I think the risk is worth the reward, the ultimate reward at the end. And I think it's going to be all put to bed, because I think he'll play the next game and he'll score 70 and that'll be it. His mark will be 70. He might even get 71. He could get 2 goals in that game. Like, it's not inconceivable. But I think he gets 70 in the next one. And then after that, there's no talk about it. And then he just gets this at the last game of the season. But rough night for injuries. And that's really where I want to go to start this show tonight. It's like Foligno boarded Lilly. That was brutal. Yeah, should that have been a major?
Yeah, I thought so. That was like a clear, like, he knew the result, and it wasn't like one of those, like, you know, really quick plays. I don't know. I hate that. That's a tough one. When you're just driving a guy's face directly into the board, it's like hands on his numbers.
I'm not afraid to sit here and say Joe Foligno is a dirty piece of shit. I remember something he did in the Olympics a little while ago. He kicked at somebody's leg with his skate. Ooh. And it was like World Cup or something like that. It was an international play. Dirty bastard. And he knew exactly what he was doing, and he shoved him hard, and his head snapped right into those boards. Lilly taking another one just after he comes back. Not good. But after that, Bobby McMahon leaves the game with a lower body injury.
Yeah.
And then Jake McKay blocks a shot with his face and didn't return for the third. So he was out for a while. Lots of guys down tonight. That's not a good thing to be happening at this time of the year, but those really aren't guys you'd be sitting, are they?
No, not really. It's not. I mean, maybe McCabe. I mean, he's already sat a game, so like, I'd say that he probably is. But yeah, it's kind of, that's a tough and unlucky one. Like, how many times has he blocked shots, and to get one off the face is just a, you know, tough break. You kind of see this one where, like, I wish I got a better look at him, because some of these are like actually like a fractured face, like fractured orbital bone or something. Some of these are just like, you know, just need a lot of stitches. So it's gonna suck. We're gonna see him with a bubble on or a cage on either way, but hopefully it's not like some guys from a like a block shot, and it was kind of like a quick deflection off his stick, right? So but like, guys have missed months from this type of an injury. So hopefully it's just a bit of superficial stitches and put the bubble on. And actually, maybe that'll be good for him, because you can be so much more aggressive with the bubble on. So maybe McCabe can just go ape shit with it.
Maybe. Yeah. But like, that's not good. Hopefully he doesn't miss any time because of that. And he's okay.
I doubt we'll see him now for the next 2 games.
Yeah, like, you think he's done till the playoffs?
Yeah, if you get that many stitches in your face, like, he's going to be so sore. Like, you might as well just give him the rest. The problem is that, you know, the defense hasn't been looking great in the last 2 games. So, like, you kind of wanted to have sort of your playoff lineup in there so you could see, like, even having Edmondson out tonight, like, that's another one where it's like, you know, I want to see more games of, like, what we're actually going to see, but maybe it comes down to we don't get like our perfect D lineup just from injury or, you know, whatever the case is.
So, yeah, and not just the D, but the forwards as well. Like, no more me and my Bobby McMahon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Bobby, lower body injury, like, that's going to be day to day. So he's probably done for the rest of the season too, you think?
I mean, that's a tough one to gauge at this point, because there wasn't really like I think that there was an incident that had happened, but it didn't look like too severe, so hopefully it's a tweak and it's no big deal. So it's, you know, it's hard to say if he's done or not, but you know, hopefully he's not done, you know. Like, at this point, I don't care who misses the next 2 games. Like, yeah, you want to put on a good performance against playoff teams, but like, it really matters, like, whoever needs to sit and rest, like, do it, because, you know, it comes to game one, that's when it really matters.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk with Dyslexic here. He left us a comment. He says, was Keith for real starting Camp, Brody, and Benoit in the overtime?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, that's a tough one, because, like, you're on the PK, right? So, like, you want to put out your PK guys. Brody's the one where, like, he had a tough night, and so, like, but what, are you going to put Lyubushkin out there, and you got 2 right-handers out on the ice? So, I guess ideally it would have been McCabe and Benoit. But I think Kampf was going to be out there no matter what. Like he's out there in overtime sometimes just to win a faceoff. So if you're shorthanded.
I hate that part of it. And I think that's what he's getting at, is that why would you put Kampf up? But it is, in fact, it was a PK. You're going to have guys who can shut down Brody and Benoit. And, you know, who else is it going to be? Like, you're trying to survive. You're not trying to win in these first 30 seconds of the starting of the overtime, because you are, in fact, on the penalty kill. You're just trying to survive and get to a point where you can win.
Yeah, definitely. It was as soon as they took that penalty, like, that was the problem. Like, you could have put anyone out there and, like, you know, 4-on-3, just it's different than being 5-on-4. So, tough one to take at that time.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so 14 goals for Nick Robertson now, 4 in his last 6 games. Mm-hmm. What are we thinking of him? Is your opinion changing? I'm in and out like him. I'm flipping back and forth, and I don't know what to say. God, he puts it in the net, man. It's undeniable. Do you want a guy like that sitting?
Yeah, I guess it's going to come down to, like, you know, how injured is Bobby McMahon? You know, like, it's, you know, is Cale Yarncroak ready? These kind of questions come into this. If everyone's healthy, I think he probably just doesn't make the cut. But, like, you know, we're missing now a top 6 guy.
But he fills the net, like, better than both of those guys. He's honestly, like, Bobby McMahon's had a good tear, but, like, Nick Robertson, he is just lethal lately.
Yeah, but I think that we're creating I don't think you're going to replace Robertson with McMahon just because, like, he doesn't quite fit the left wing spot that he's in a top 6.
And he doesn't bring the other things Bobby McMahon does.
No, yeah, he doesn't do the same things. Yeah. He's just becoming more and more convincing. There's no question. You know, even like the play tonight, he just, you know, tears down the ice by himself and takes a ripper and nice shot. He's doing way more of the right things to be a playoff player. And I'm talking about things not like other than his scoring. So I think that he's just, becoming what he's was supposed to be. And the biggest thing has been he's played like 54 games or something at this point. So it's the most games in his career by far at a professional level. I think it all came down to that in the long run. I think if he was going to just play 12 or 25 games every season, we were never going to see him. But he had the talent, and he's got a shot that's undeniable.
Absolutely. So Matthew Nyes playing on the fourth line. He was obviously being bounced around. Keefe had to do tonight because he lost a forward, or was it even 2 forwards at one point? No, just 4-1 forward, 2D. So he lost a forward, so that probably makes sense because he was up with Tavares. But it's funny because we're all happy about him being lower in the lineup and watching his dominance and his physical play ramp up and just more looking like himself. And he gets a couple shifts with Tavares and he gets an assist.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about having a guy in your fourth line like him is, like, when someone goes down, you can throw him up there. So I think it just proves that, you know, it's beneficial to have him in his position, because sometimes you lose someone like, you know, Bobby McMahon, who's been an impactful player. Like, it can scramble things up too much. And so if all you have to do is just, you know, take your fourth line winger and throw him up there, like, that's a pretty easy solution.
And it was a big goal, too. It was a 4-4 tying goal.
Yeah, like, it was the biggest goal, yeah.
The biggest goal of the game for the Leafs. So, I mean, you definitely nice to have Nyes to be able to flip that in, but it looks like Sheldon Keefe is starting to pull out his magic bag of tweaks here. Now, like I said, he had to.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of Bobby McMahon. But on the other end of things, like, he's starting the game with McMahon, Tavares, Nylander, and then he's putting Tavares, Nylander, Marner together. Marner. And then McMahon. Yeah. And then he's adding Nylander. You're right. But he's mixing that up, so he's flipping those lines. So it's kind of like he's flipping, like, role players, but these role players are better than role players. And you have, like, which group are you going to take off or isn't going to play for a couple of shifts, right? Which group is getting skipped in this rotation? Is it the third line group of Holmberg and Robertson, or is it the fourth line group of Kampf and who was it? Was it Reeves tonight or Dewar?
Kampf in there, or Reeves in there.
Yeah, Reeves is in there, but whoever it would be. But that seems to be his tactic, and I'll just use those other guys depending on the situation.
Yeah, I think Willie's playing with guys on his line that are not going to get as many minutes of him as him. And so I think if there's less special teams time going on, not as many penalties in the playoffs, like, you need to get him more minutes. And so this is Keefe's solution to do that, is you throw him up there and you're decreasing, whether it's Nyes or Bobby McMahon, who's that winger. But you're giving Willie more minutes. And so I think that this is his version of the loaded up line, and I'm all for it. You know, it leaves Matthews alone and it kind of gives you something else.
And from David Alter, I have a tweet here. He says, Sheldon Keefe says this is not just a short-term thing. The new Leafs line of Bertuzzi, Matthews, Domi appears to be a lock for game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So with Bobby McMahon out, we could probably see a Marner, Tavares, Nylander as your second line.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked.
And I think that's something they'd probably roll with into the playoffs, depending on Bobby McMahon's status. Again, Keith said he doesn't want to start the game like that, but he definitely will use it, you know, flipping back and forth through the game. But if Bobby McMahon's out, his hands may be tied.
Yeah, like, we could always just throw Nyes up there instead. And if we put Willie there, that means that we're probably seeing the kid line back of Nyes, Robertson, and Holmberg. And we're like, you know, we've seen that. And so that might be a situation where Robertson does make the lineup if Bobby McMahon's not in. But that's a very sheltered line, you know. Due to injury, you got to do what you got to do. So, and I wouldn't want to, like, create something brand new that we haven't seen. And we've seen a kid line do pretty good. They give up chances, that's for sure, but they do put it in the net as well. So, I guess you could just see what it's like, but preferably, you know, you don't have to do that. It sucks having Willie on the third line, to be honest, because it's been okay, but it's not like he's, you know, finding a ton of chemistry with his line mates. So, you know, if it was something else, like, it might not be the end of the world, but just kid line to me is kind of scary. That's where, like, I would want to then, like, scratch Reeves and bring in someone else who you can be more of a responsible fourth line, that you can play more minutes. Because, like, you know, if you got a third and a fourth line that you have to protect, like, that's a lot of minutes on the top six, and that only goes so far.
Yeah, but in the situation I was just describing, it seems to be, like, if you work in this pairs with extra role guys and giving guys a break, it could work. You know, sheltering both, but you're not technically sheltering. You're treating your bottom six as specialty lines rather, and just more as your top six as all around lines. You can put those against the best players and play them whenever, and you're going to play them the most shifts. And if you're in an offensive situation, you know, or maybe need a goal or whatever, you'd play the more offensive line. And if you were trying to hold a lead or kill some time or whatever have you, then you would play the other guys. Right. And yeah. I think that's not a bad tactic to go forward. I hope Sheldon Keefe does actually deploy it like that. As much as I said in the past, I've hated the line scrambling, I do kind of hope that that's what he goes for going forward. So Matt Murray's playing again. Matt Murray gets a shootout win in his first game in over a year with the Marlies, and they punch their ticket to the playoffs.
Yep. My dad told me this today. Shout out to my dad.
Yeah, he was going to play with the Marlies tonight.
Yeah, Melissa, yeah, he thought he was going to be back, yeah. Yeah, interesting. I mean, that's great. Good to know that his surgery went well. I wish him all the best of luck in his future. Yeah.
Apparently we have a 10-10 tweet from Luke Fox. Thankfully, he's okay. Matthews on Jake McCabe. So, I guess he's okay.
Nice.
But he, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't play the next game still.
Yeah. I wonder, like, I didn't see, did you see his face? Like, was it a broken nose?
Oh, yeah,
I was
bleeding all over the place. Oh, no, I don't know. I just saw I was bleeding all over the place.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if it was a broken nose or if it was actually, like, a cut on his face. You know, it can go so, like, different ways there. So, hopefully, like, broken nose is something that they all deal with, but stitches are a different beast. So hopefully, I mean, if he just has a little broken nose, should be fine.
Yeah. Well, what else you got on this game, CP?
I mean, not much. You know, I was half watching the UFC, but yeah, I don't know. We really covered everything. Other than the bad start, like, it was kind of a decent game. Sammy pulled it together. I just really hope – I was really hoping for Matthews to get 70, but other than that, I think that's it.
Yep. Do you want to chat quickly? Arizona's no longer a hockey team. They're moving to Salt Lake City.
Well, you know, like a little twist. They might be on a hiatus. Sounds like there's a chance for them to be back in 5 years. But, yeah,
yes.
For now, gone to Utah, which, I mean, a buddy of mine said Kingston would have been better than Arizona. So I think, like, it is, you know, they're moving to, at least they're going to be playing in a full-size building. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder if with the change of management and a change of thought process that you take everything that Arizona has built, because they had been building a good group. They have lots of young talent. They're not quite there yet, but they got lots of young talent, lots of draft picks. And yeah. I wonder if this Salt Lake City team becomes a force in a few years. And
that'd be hilarious.
It'll be funny. It'll be funny if Arizona comes back and they do an expansion draft and they're just fucking terrible again.
That's what I didn't quite understand. It was like, so like they, like Utah's getting a team without having to do the expansion draft thing, and now and Arizona does it. And like, we've seen that, those go like very different ways. So
yeah, because it's a relocation. It's like the Jets, right?
Yeah.
It's like when the Jets moved to Winnipeg, and it's the same thing. So.
Right.
Wild, though, Salt Lake is not really a place I expected. It's funny because that came out, like, you know, a couple months ago, so it was technically on the radars, but not a place before that that I ever would have expected the next NHL franchise to be. But officially, the new NHL franchise will be in Salt Lake City, Utah, and it will probably not continue to carry the Coyotes moniker, so I imagine that they will pick a new name.
Yeah, I hope they do.
What do you think they're going to be named? What's the best?
Is it going to be Utah, or is it going to be Salt Lake City? That's my first question.
Salt Lake City is where they're going to play, apparently.
Yeah, but the team name, like, you know, like you, there's the Utah Jazz. You know,
that's true. They could just go Utah.
Yeah. So I kind of hope they go with Utah. I like relating it to the other sports. So, but I mean, I don't really have a name off the top of my head. Like, you know, it's a tough little spot you put me in.
No worries. All right, I just thought that was interesting. The Arizona Coyotes franchise that have been around, you know, for as long as I can remember. They're moving. They've always been shitty. They've had a couple of good runs, but that's it for them. And
really, Shane Doan should be their like mascot, their emblem. When we like if they like come back, it should just be Shane Doan's face instead of the Coyote. That's all.
There you go. Just jerseys with Shane Doan's face on it.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. That's exactly what they should do. All right. Anyways, that's a wrap for us. Thanks for joining Split the Defense Leafs post game. We appreciate your comments. To show support, hit that like button, subscribe on YouTube. Please rate and review the show. We want your feedback. You can find us on X at STDP Hockey and search for Split the Defense on all other socials. We'll be back against the Panthers Tuesday around 10 o'clock. Till next time, peace.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs post-game edition. Hosted by Jordan Webster, Craig Pierce, and producer Ted Evans. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors, professional and efficient service since 2004, serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.